Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos, and I'm sitting here with Sister Amon and...
Brother Akul.
Hey, how's it going, Brother Akul? Sister Amon's here, too. Hey, I want to talk to you today about something that we need to do to clear the air. This one's called Patrick Walter, ex-Hutterite, and our sad experiences with him. Yeah, I feel like this audio needs to be done after the long and storied sad history we've had with this man, Patrick Walter, ex-Hutterite from Alberta, Canada, that we were in fellowship with recently, but we had to separate, and for the last time, we had to separate. We're going to talk about that. People have asked about the situation, so I want to clear the air. Why? We're not afraid to talk about the truth. We're not afraid to talk about what people have done. We're not afraid to repent if we need to. God's word calls people out, so we need to do this here so that God is glorified and the truth is defended. I want to say right at the start of this audio, this is not about anger or hate or a get-you moment. We forgive Patrick and his wife, Marion. We want the best for his house. But again, we've separated from him for the last time, and there's no path back to unity. Sometimes there's just so much trust gone, and it's a long-distance situation. We don't do those anymore. It's a long story, but trust has been destroyed, and we're going to forgive. We're going to move on, but we want to clear the air. So first thing I want to do is go over some scripture, and then I'm going to lay out the facts of why we are where we are, because Patrick Walter is very handicapped when it comes to the truth. Basically, he lies. Yeah, we're going to show you that. First scripture verse, Amos 3:3. We don't walk together with him today. Why? Can two walk together lest they be agreed? I love that verse. And then Proverbs 9:8. Me and Brother Kuo just did a study on this. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. Yeah, that one goes a long way, dealing with Patrick. Proverbs 8:13. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And then last scripture verse, James 4:7-9. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So I just wanted to start with some scripture verses. And then I want to talk about the purpose of this audio. It's not a get you moment. One, it's to glorify God. Two, it's to contend for the faith and the truth once delivered, as Jude says. Three, it's to call everyone to repentance and redemption. Four, it's to warn us all to not be like this novice, prideful, lying man, Patrick Walter, and we hope he repents of these actions. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to explain the facts, how I came to know about Patrick, because people have asked, how we were united, then we parted, then we were united again, now we're parted again, this time for good. And as I said in the beginning, both my wife, Sister Amon, is listening. She's known Patrick and Marion the whole time I have, 3 years now. And my brother Akuo is with me. Amen, brother?
Yeah, amen.
He's listening. He's going to be testing what I say and be able. He's going to speak at the end of this audio. And he's known Patrick. He met Patrick with me face-to-face. We've known Patrick face-to-face the same amount of time, about 7 months. And he traveled with Patrick in van life, and he did ministry. And he saw Patrick, and he saw Patrick's house. So this young man can speak truth and tell exactly what he saw, and he can correct me in anything that I've said that is wrong here. So my wife gave me testimony, and I went over these notes with her. She backs up everything I'm saying. She's an eyewitness. Brother Kuo can chime in at the end of this. So let's get at this and get right at the facts. All right, so my ministry... over the years, Sister Amon and I have worked really hard to preach the gospel, call out false ways. Part of that was really going after the Anabaptists because we ran into so many of them in Wisconsin, Missouri, when we preach in Florida, on the internet. And so we have a good internet presence exposing the Anabaptist people, like the Hutterites. Patrick was a Hutterite, 3 years ago in 2021, I believe it was, right after COVID. Patrick was raised in a Hutterite colony in Canada called Raymore. We have a testing of them. Excuse me, my voice is really hoarse. We were out preaching today. We have a testing of Raymore colony. You could look it up. Just look up Raymore Hutterite colony exposed. Our testing comes up number one on Google. So he began to see through their cult ways. And he texted me. And we talked for 2 hours on the phone one day. And it actually started out really promising. And I told him the first day, in love, leave them. Flee for truth's sake. Well, he didn't listen. We offered to help them because they didn't have any money or anything. We would have helped them. But from there, it went really bad. Patrick and Marion believed the Hutterites were their brethren, that they wanted the truth. Patrick ended up attacking me, lying, telling me I hated the Hutterites, telling me I was hard as a hammer, even though God's word says his word is a hammer. Told me I was mean-spirited. And at one point, I even said, hey, you're still a Hutterite. And he lied and said, no, we don't really call ourselves Hutterites. As he was living in a Hutterite community, it said Hutterite all over. They had Hutterite pamphlets. So he outright lied. It was the first stages of him lying, which he proved to be quite the liar. He said his people wanted truth. I was too hard. He parted from me, went off in his novice pride, and that was that. Well, I wrote a post about him because I felt led to, called Hutterite Heretic up in Canada. It's still on my teaching blog. You can go check that out at don'tperish.com. Look at the teaching blog. Look up Hutterite Heretic. And then some months later, he again reached out. He was still rebellious, prideful, novice man, wouldn't listen, wanted to do everything his way. It didn't go well. At one point, I stopped talking to him on the phone. And he literally, my wife is an eyewitness to this. I had him on my phone for the longest time until my phone got stolen from me outside a church I was witnessing to. I had his angry messages, him yelling and screaming at me because I was attacking his Hutterite brethren. So it got really ugly. He kept lying and we left it there. And I said, wow, amazing. That young man is quite the young man. Amazing. And fast forward a few months after that, out of the blue, I get a text from some guy saying, will you check out my gospel track? And I looked at Sister Amma and I'm like, who is this? Turned out it was Patrick. He had left the Hutterites and he was making some kind of a track up and he wanted me to test it. And I'm like, we're not united. Why am I testing your track for you? And what I learned was he had left the Hutterites, but he didn't leave on his own. No, what happened was him and Marion left, but his brother and then his father, Ben, and his mother, Ruth, ended up following, and they were all false converts, lukewarm, and they all ended up living together, closely united together, in Calgary, living lukewarm, unbiblical lives. Patrick, Marion, Ben, Ruth, and their son, Darwin. But Darwin ended up not claiming Christ at all. Ben ended up not claiming Christ. Ruth, I have no idea about. By their fruit, I would say they're all false converts. So what happened was, in about the year 2023, they ordered some clothing from someone we knew that made clothing. And we found out about them ordering clothing, and that opened a door to communication. So we started having some long-distance communication with them. It led to Bible study and some fellowship, and there was some trust being established. Still very leery of this novice, prideful young man, but we tried to do our best to help them. And we were going to the Word together. We were studying. His brother left and went on his own way, said he didn't want the Lord. So Ben and Ruth and Patrick and Marion and me and my wife and another brother were moving on. Things were going pretty decent. There was a lot of questions about their lukewarm houses. They were not fully biblical when we showed up. We had to help them to get biblical and start obeying in many areas. Patrick always asked for help. Please help me. Show me things. I want to know everything. He claimed he wanted help in all areas. This turned out to be more lies, as you're going to see as we went on. Ben claimed that too. I even have an audio still on my phone about Ben calling me, crying for help, that he wants to know the Lord. Well, he ended up turning on me and lying about me as well. So Ben turned out to be a liar. So as they say, apples don't fall far from the tree. So Patrick turned out to be a good liar. So did Ben in many, many ways. So sadly, the first unity together fell apart. Here's how it fell apart. Patrick had a sheep, a lady that had left the Hutterites, his mother-in-law, living in his house. I counseled him on how to protect her. He, like a coward, let the Hutterite men right in his house to come and help scoop her away. Then he acted like a coward when they showed up to his house. I was trying to counsel him. He didn't listen. He was rebellious. Well, Ben tells me that Patrick is afraid of him. Why? For the second time, Ben told me this, that colony, a man was killed on the colony in a drunken fight. In fact, the Canadian Mounted Police had a man polygraphed for the murder, and it was a drunken man. Everybody knows him as a drunk. Patrick told me this, and guess what? Patrick and Marion know this drunk very well. He's right in their family. That's all I'm going to say. He was suspected for this crime. Well, Patrick was afraid of them. It all fell apart. They swept this woman away. And what happened is Ben and Patrick ended up acting like Revelation 21:8 cowards. I said to them, we need to expose the Hutterites for this crime. Don't mention anybody's name who did it. We didn't know who did the murder. But let's mention it happened. The police were there. They polygraphed. Ben and Patrick cowarded out. They defended the Hutterites. They attacked me. They said I was being mean-spirited. They basically betrayed us to protect the Hutterites. And I warned them. Ben went and lied and said I lord over him, which was an absolute lie. He asked for help all over, just like Patrick did. Their houses were messes. We were trying to help them. I warned them. I said, don't do this. You're going to destroy fellowship. They didn't listen. Patrick lied. He blamed it all on me. He acted as a wicked, wicked man. So did Ben. And I separated from them. And so did the brother that was with us at the time. And we separated from them. And for 6 months, Patrick and his compromising wife, Marion, stood behind their treachery and never once confessed to us that they did that wrongfully. So did Ben and Ruth. It was a shameful, sinful, unbiblical act of betrayal. And here's what I want to note. I think 2 weeks after it happened, Patrick posts on his website how he was partial and defended the Hutterites when he shouldn't have. And he eventually called them out for that man that was murdered. But he never once came back and said, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. He went on his way with his little group. We went on our way. We forgave them. That was that. Well, fast forward about 6 months after that. The Lord put it on my heart to reach out to them, because we still loved them and cared for them, to see if they had come to their senses. Well, Ben, like the coward that he is and the liar that he is, he's told all kinds of lies about me. Patrick didn't even believe him. The other brother didn't believe him. Clearly, they weren't true. He wanted nothing to do with biblical fellowship. He just wanted to hide in his own lukewarm, sinful life. Ben ran away and didn't want fellowship, but Patrick confessed and said, yeah, I'd like to have fellowship again. And so we started working towards it. He seemed to come around to his senses. It was all lies again. He confessed he was wrong. He asked for forgiveness. He said, please come into my house and help me with truth and study. I need help. So we seemed like, once again, we're on the road to unity. I like to think I'm a forgiving man. Have mercy if you want to have mercy, right? So we were forgiving. We love redemption. We love forgiveness. Well, to his credit, Patrick started to get his house in some order, it seemed. He separated from Ben. He started a website. He was street preaching. And it was kind of weird. He virtually copied our website. Virtually. And denied it later. But everyone saw that he did that. And it was just strange that he did that. But anyway, we did see issues in Patrick. He had pride. He had rebellion. He was stubborn. He was stiff-necked. I always question how much truth he really told. And we didn't trust him, but we were working to help him. We're trying to overcome it. And he kept asking for help over and over and over. Well, it came about that Patrick felt like he wanted to go into van life. And he ultimately decided to leave Canada just for 6 months and to come down and travel with us. So he picks up his roots to come and travel with us. We didn't go fetching him. He came to travel with us. Why? He wanted to come be with other godly saints and learn and be trained and walk in the ways of God. So finally, in November of 2023, that's when I was with Brother Kuo, and he got to meet, and he was online, right, Brother? You were online with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were online with him before that, but he got to meet Patrick when I did in November, and let me just tell you, and Brother Kuo can speak when it's his turn, he is not the man he pretended himself to be. He had novice ways that really showed up, pride and rebellion, untrustworthiness. His marriage had feminist issues in it. At one point from Canada, he called me shaking mad at Marion because she was not doing correctly with the children. And he was livid. So I knew there was issues in his house. His children, totally out of control when they got there. Running all over. No discipline. No order. If I didn't say it again, or before, I'll say it again. He was full of lies. We caught him on suspect things that really caused a lot of mistrust, but we kept trying to work with him through this all. And he just lacked so many things by his own words. And I want to read, this is going to take a little bit, but I want to read this. You ready? I'm going to read what he sent us in his own words about what he lacked. You ready? I'm going to read this whole thing. Evening, brother. This is all a quote from Patrick. Evening, brother. I wanted to send you where I am at. You don't have to respond if you don't want to, but I've been pondering and searching this out. A little bit of why. I have flesh. I have novice ways. Pride. It's possibly a residual left over from my journey out of the Hutterites. An overreaction of being under lording over men caused a general mindset of not submitting to anyone. I had to reject everyone's advice at one point, rebelling against men who gave me advice that was not godly, helping me to leave man-made religion, but I see it has stuck in me and caused problems by showing up in a relationship with a godly man, you, who gives godly advice. It is not directed at you, but what I see is a general mindset I have that I need to rein in. It is helpful in some cases, but not in others. I must learn to discern and control it. Ironically, the only good advice I got at that point was from you, telling me I should leave the Hutterites. Here's what I need to focus on moving forward. One, focus on the Lord first. Losing the focus and having a skewed focus is maybe more on van life, family life, ministry, fellowship, means you're not walking in the Spirit as you should. And this causes a lot of issues, such as we're showing up with me not guarding my words. Two, my conduct in the body must be adjusted and changed. Remember my place as a novice and be silent and learn more than talk. Three, submit to the authority of the body and the elders and yield to them. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them, have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch after your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Four, submit to correction and counsel. Initial response to correction must be humble and submitted to the truth. Saul or David, check your heart and repent. Five, wait and learn on the Lord. It's not sinful to want to be at a place of maturity in ministry, but getting there is a due process of maturing fruit, and it takes time to ripen. It can't be rushed. I miss out on the lessons to be learned in getting there when I move too fast. Six, worldly shooting, saying aim small, miss small. Focus on the details in my house, my words, my relationships, and you won't miss the bigger things. Be faithful in that which is the least. Seven, be a better brother, a bad witness and not glorifying to God or helping my brother or sisters. Eight, learn to recognize flesh in all situations and root it out. Nine, learn to judge and discern myself the hardest. Don't overlook, pass any details. Focus on them intentionally. Make it a point of being deliberate in this all. End of quote. Those were the words of Patrick Walter to me, to us as a body, saying all the things that he had wrong. And in the 3 months that he traveled with us, we saw all of that and more. And he kept begging, speak into all these areas, help me, I know my life's a mess. He kept lying over and over because he never really meant it. Later, he lies and attacks. Ben said, I lord it over. Patrick said, I lord it over. Then he comes and travels with us, wants all this help. Then we find out he thinks I was lording over again by helping him. I'll give you some examples of some of those things. I counseled him on his wife. He asked me. His children. He asked me. Doctrines. He asked me. Witnessing. He asked me. Van life. He asked me. Then he lies and he attacks me. Not good. And I'm not doing this to defend myself. I'm doing this to tell the truth. Let me read you something else Patrick said. Ready? This is another quote from February 12th, a few days before we parted. Morning, brother. Hope you're well. Wanted to say something. I've been pondering what you said about doing more self-policing, and it's critical. I will strive to do that. I'm praying the Lord for wisdom and discernment. I want to say to you, thank you for all you've done for me and my house. I'm so grateful, and I hope I can somehow show enough love to you and your house in return. Love in Christ, Patrick. That's the kind of messages I got from this man days before we parted, thanking me because he saw that his house was in order. We taught him how to teach his children corporal punishment, get them in order. They actually were doing really good right about the time he left. He was starting to get his wife in order, who had feminist ways and rebellion against him. He was starting to rule in his witnessing, not being so arrogant and prideful with people that he shouldn't be rebuking. But those are just some facts. But they turned out to be lies, apparently, because he didn't really mean them. So I was trying to get his house in order. At one point, we had them traveling separate from us so he could focus on his children because he was so negligent with them to the point of leaving them near traffic and not watching them. Yeah, absolutely. My stomach cringed. I saw him risk his children's lives. And he said, I got to do better than that. So they were traveling separate and he agreed with that. I'm going to tell you this and you're going to say, why would you tell this? He had this on his own website. He confessed this. We learned that he hit his wife with a leather strap. Why? Because he was disciplining her about disciplining the children, and he did it right in front of another eyewitness in his house in Canada that ended up getting him into trouble. And so this is the kind of disorder that was in this man's life, and it was shameful. And we tried to help him, and he ended up turning on us. So Patrick agreed eventually to take down his website, to even stop preaching, to try to grow up in the faith for a time. He agreed to it all. I got messages, him agreeing to all of this. I got eyewitnesses that he agreed to all of this with Brother Kuo and my wife watching because he had pride. He had to break this all down. He had to get rid of it. In the end, he ended up blaming me. So bear with me. We're getting to the end here. So it all fell apart in February of 2024, just recently, when I challenged in love. I said, brother, can I give you some advice about your wife? He said, yes, please do. I said, why is it you don't show your wife love in public? She walks way behind you. You have stern words. I already rebuked him for using stern words on her all the time. And he told us they don't do public displays of affection. He said, I guess I could be a better witness. At one point, she was walking out in a dark parking lot with the little one, and he didn't even watch out for her, where there were some suspect characters walking around. All of this stuff I was bringing up to him, and he eventually got mad and said, why are you bringing up my marriage? And I said, because it's part of your witness. I don't care about the PDA. He later lied and said, I told him he's got to have PDA with his wife, which is a lie. I said, it's weird. You don't want to have PDA with your wife, but you want to hug your brother and you hug your children. I said, you do whatever you want with your wife when it comes to PDA, but you will be a good witness. You will have her walk with you. You will not use those harsh words with her. You will look after her. Oh, yeah, I need to be better at that, he said. Eventually, it came to the point where he pushed back enough and I said, you know what? I think you need some more time to go travel on your own and get things right. And then I said, I think maybe I'm going to take a time of silence from your house while you travel. Let's figure this all out. His next thing was to send an email attacking me for lording over, controlling everything. he used a whole bunch of lame examples, like I told him how to put front tires on his van. He was driving around with bald tires on his van. I said, brother, you need tires. You got the money. He eventually got them and was thankful. He needed shocks on his van. The whole back was sagging down. It was bad for control. I talked him into it, helped him put them on. It was the best thing he ever did, he said. Over and over, vents for his van. Over and over with his children. Over and over with his ministry. We helped him. So did Brother Kuo. He thanked us. He said, it's good counsel. I need that. Only in the end, finally, to attack me and say I was lording over in his usual lying form, attacked me, said I was lording over. I have an email he sent to Brother Kuo. He changed his whole house for us. This guy drove from Canada 2,000 miles to come be with us. Yet he changed his whole house for us. He wanted the help. His house was a mess. He had unbiblical doctrines or unbiblical ways. And all of this, he wanted help in. And he was ungrateful. He was proudful. He was stubborn. He was stiff-necked. It ended up that all of the things he said, he thanked me, he wanted help, it all turned out to be more lies. And so when he sent that email and said, you're lording over, you control me, you do this, I said, done. You now broke the trust once again. You're blaming me, throwing me to the curb. Then my brother Akuo sent him an email and said, can you address these issues biblically and prove what you're saying about Brother Tupos? And basically, he ignored all of Brother Akuo's questions, just attacked me, told me I was lording over, and that was it. That was enough for me. I told him, I'm done. We love you. We forgive you. We broke all ties. He was sent off on his way. We no longer can trust or unite to this willful liar, this prideful novice man named Patrick Walter. And for these reasons, I'm telling you about him. Number one, he's not trustworthy. He's like a John Mark. Remember Paul and Barnabas? They argued over a man. He's like a John Mark. Patrick Walter is a John Mark. Two, he lies, has pride, rebellion. How can you trust a man like that? Three, he's now long distance. I don't do long distance relationships anymore. I've made a promise to the Lord and my brother, and I don't do that anymore. And four, he's not the man he claims to be. He's not a good, solid man of God. He's got a lot of sin and a lot of issues. So in the end, Patrick Walter proved to be, at heart, a double-minded, lying, prideful, undiscerning, unthankful, lacking parent and husband, as well as a novice. And his wife, Marion, is a partial, husband-pleasing compromiser. Why? My wife worked with her and said, when you see your husband do something sinful, you need to go to him and ask him, why are you doing this? Can you explain this to me biblically? And you need to do what's right before God, not just follow your husband into sin. Well, 6 months ago, she followed him into sin. 6 months now later, she's following him into sin again, and she needs to repent because she's in sin. She's basically helping him in his pride, his arrogance, and I fear for their house. I really do hope that they repent to the saving of their souls. That's what this is all about, a call out. And that's really the crux of what I have to say for the most part. I'm going to turn it over right now to my brother Akuo, and he can say whatever he wants. This isn't rehearsed. He heard what I had to say. He can speak what's on his heart. Brother, correct me. Brother, verify. Brother, share your heart. What do you say about all this?
Yeah, so none of this is rehearsed. I actually didn't write notes before I came here. I was just writing notes while he was telling that whole story about Patrick and whatnot. And I just want to bring up a few things that I saw from my time with him, with the online...
7 months.
7 months, yeah. Online communication and then face-to-face in Florida. The Lord gave me that opportunity. So, online, he seemed like an older brother in the faith because he said, oh, I was born again about 2 or 3 years, he said, and he was on the back end of being a novice. He liked to say that. And I saw him as a brother who brought really good studies. He was studying a lot. He cared about the Lord, it seemed like, through the screen. And he was always very zealous to get online with the brothers. He was always very active on the forum and everything. So I looked at him like an elder brother because I was new in the faith. I was like, wow, this guy's farther along than I am.
Yeah, and doctrinally, he was sound.
Doctrinally, he was sound, yeah. So I was looking up to him as a younger brother, someone to look at as kind of closer to my experience level, I guess I could say.
Yeah, you guys are close in the same age.
Right. Same age, too.
Yeah, how old are your brother?
26.
Yeah.
But I found coming down here in person, seeing it in person, how he runs his house, how he discerns things spiritually, he's just not the man he portrays himself online to be. It's almost like he had an image on his website of Brother Zelos going out street preaching, going out making studies, being zealous online. But in person, what I saw was he knew the scriptures really well. He was a very knowledgeable man with the scriptures. He hadn't applied much of it to his life. And we saw that with the disorder in his family. You saw that with his family.
Yeah.
Saw that with his marriage. Saw that with just how he carried himself in public and the preaching, rebuking older men. And we were working with him on this all in person. But the first thing that came to mind for me was hypocrisy. This is the leaven that Jesus warned of. And I just want to read a few verses. Luke 12:1-2. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. So I had an uneasy feeling being around Patrick, because we were working with him, we were cleaning up his house. I saw how he ran his house. He was doing well, like you said. He was cleaning up things. He was getting his house more in order, his marriage more in order. He was doing better.
Did it seem in the flesh or in the spirit?
It seemed in the flesh, yeah. Because that's one thing I wanted to bring up. We corrected him on a lot of different things. We pointed him in the right direction on a lot of different things. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love thee. He seemed to love it. We were helping him, we were correcting him. But he never seemed to walk it out on his own. He never seemed to have that circumspect awareness the Spirit gives you of, I gotta clean this up, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, before the brothers tell you about it.
Yeah.
He never seemed to have like that forward-moving spirit. Like he would always tell me, the Spirit is always moving, it's like wind, it's like water, it's always moving. I never saw that with him. I just had an uneasy feeling when I saw him. He would get corrected. He would always take it kind of in the flesh. You could tell through the messages, being very silent or kind of pushing back a little bit. He would correct it. But then either he would stumble back into it, or we would have to correct him for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. He was never self-correcting. We never saw I never saw a general progression,
yeah.
Upward progression.
Yeah. And we talked about him being spirit-led a lot, and it just never really came to bear.
Yeah, and I was questioning that in my mind. I had an uneasy feeling. I actually told him I had an uneasy feeling because when we talked to him the first time about his pride and how he had to root that out and get that out of him, because I dealt with a lot of pride. And my early walk, I know exactly what it's like. You have to tear that thing out.
Kind of an expert at it.
Yeah, you have to tear that. I think the Lord put me through that so I could give people advice. You really have to break yourself down. Otherwise, the Lord's going to do it for you, and you don't want the Lord to do it for you. He had to do it for me, and I'm telling you, you don't want to experience the terror of the Lord. So I gave him that advice. But whenever he would repent, and you talked about that, I believe, about the Hutterites, they say they repent, it seems like they repent for a little bit, and then they go right back to it, fall right back into it, and that's exactly what I saw. So I never had a solid trust after he kept falling into it, repenting, and it broke my trust. And one thing I wanted to bring up is he never tried to reform that trust with me, personally. He never reached out to me, brother to brother, and daily tried to regain that trust with me. He always tried to push it back, say, you know what, we repented of that, let's move on from that, let's keep, and he never wanted to address it, he never wanted to reform that trust. And I really wanted to I really wanted him to walk in the Spirit, reform that trust, be that humble, lowly man he said he was after many times of repenting. But I never saw it. I never saw him walking in the Spirit. And I see that as a failure to bring himself under subjection. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And if you saw Patrick's preaching out in the street, you may say, wow, he's really knowledgeable about the scriptures. He knows the gospel front to back. He knows how to take you from this point to this point. He knows everything about Calvinism, about all of these churches, and they're different. He was a very knowledgeable man. But you look into his life, and he failed to bring himself under subjection to the things that he was preaching.
Yeah, and he actually admitted to suffering from intellectualism.
Yeah, he did.
And
yeah.
He had to repent of that.
He did, and he said he rooted it out, which I never saw it. Yeah. I never saw it. I always had an uneasy feeling. He said he rooted it out. I know what it's like to root that stuff out. I never saw that he rooted it out. And it only brought in confusion, and I wanted to bring up confusion.
Yeah.
Because when he started to throw accusations out, when he started to basically put up walls to the brothers and sisters, put up walls to the truth, defend himself, whatever it might be, there was a lot of confusion. And we know 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, Amen. But of peace, as in all churches of the saints. We're Amen. Supposed to be in subjection one to another. We want to see each other make it across the finish line. I don't know why we're pushing and fighting against each other. Why are we causing so much confusion with each other? We should be getting to the crux of the matter, the witness of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the truth,
and how the world sees it. It's of the flesh and the enemy.
Yeah, it is of the flesh. And it saddens me, it saddens my spirit, because he professed to me and the brothers and sisters that he rooted all that stuff out, because we broached him on it once before, and I said, brother, you have to root that stuff out. And he said, you know what, something Brother Akuo told me really hit with me. The Spirit gave me some words to say to him he needed to hear. I hoped he had rooted it out. He never rooted it out.
I go back to one thing you said? I just want to correct you, and I know you're going to agree with me.
Yeah.
You said we went to him once before. How many times did we go to him about rooting stuff out?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Many times. I know you said once, but many times.
There was that big point where he lost his website. Yep. He lost all that. He stopped preaching. I thought, okay, maybe he's going to root it out now.
Yeah, I had hope at that point, too.
Right. He's kind of like on the ground level. His good point to rebuild. He never rooted it out. He held on to it, and it came back up in confusion and contention, and he blamed the brothers and sisters. Everything we were helping him with, like you said, he thanked us for everything.
Yeah.
He just held on to that rebellion, that pride, that novice way, and it eventually destroyed our fellowship with him.
I would say this, with you as a newer believer, mm-hmm. he definitely was an example to you of what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you agree with that?
I think it went from online, early in my walk, I was like, wow, this is an example of a man online. You get in person along your walk. You expect him to be led of the Spirit, discerning, walking circumspect because the days are evil. Never saw it. Kept going, kept falling into sin, never repenting. My trust was like shrinking. He became an example of what not to be.
Yeah.
He was led by the flesh.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
I mean, that's pretty much all the notes I have on it.
Awesome, brother. Thanks for sharing that. I want your eyewitness testimony. Yeah. Brother mentioned about the confusion. I have to say, again, we love everybody. We love our enemies. We want everybody to come to repentance. I got to say, we go out now witnessing, and we go out and stand outside churches, go to events, go out and do street witnessing. There's such calm and peace now when we go to do it. There was so many issues to deal with him, and I really pray that he grows up, maybe really gets born again. I don't know. I can't see in a man's heart, but people might say to me, oh, you're so mean-spirited. Why are you doing this? Ready? I oppose him. Let me quote a great man of God, Brother Paul, opposed Peter in Galatians 2. Ready? Galatians 2:11. And by the way, this is written about for billions of saints to read about, or billions of believers, people to read about in the Bible for 2,000 years. Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Yeah, I oppose Patrick and Mary, and so does my brother Kuo, so does my wife, Sister Amen, because they are to be blamed for this, and they need a call out to the saving of their souls. We did, my house and my brother, we did everything we could to help them. Our hands are clean, Ezekiel 33. And I just got to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back with Ben and Ruth. They all seem to kind of fit together. And as Brother Kuo said, Patrick must have told me 50 times, Hutterites always repent, but they never leave the sin. They just keep going back and repenting over and over and over again, doing the same sin, and they think that's spiritual. That's what he does. He never really corrects anything in many areas, but yet keeps falling back into his vomit, or as a pig goes back to the mire, as Peter says. So to end this, I just want to say, let's everybody learn from this. And our body has a saying, AEOC, all eyes on Christ. That means we don't keep our eyes on people, not me, not Akuo, not anyone else. We keep our eyes on the Lord. We definitely don't keep our eyes on men. We can have men for examples. Don't keep your eyes and don't trust novice, prideful, lying men. Forgive them. Absolutely, we forgive. We don't hold a grudge. We want the best for them. But don't trust them. And there's a reason that Paul said this. 1 Timothy 3:6. Not a novice, lest he being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. That's kind of like a verse that encompasses who this man, Patrick Walter, the ex-Hutterite, really is. I fear for his soul. I fear for his house. I really do. But that's the truth about my relationship, our relationship with Patrick Walter from Alberta, Canada. I wanted it to be made known. He tells a lot of lies. I want the truth to be made known. I actually am rejoicing because Jesus said when they use you and lie about you and say all manner of things, rejoice. So we need to be rejoicing because Patrick definitely did that. And I just want to encourage all the true brothers and sisters out there listening, strive to do better than this for God's glory because Christ is worthy. Anything else, Brother Kuo?
No, I just hope he repents, and I just pray for the best. Because, yeah, we're not trying to do like a get you, a got you moment, anything like that. Our goal is redemption. We want to see as many people as possible in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We don't want this contention and pride and novice ways to come up, but we have to do what we have to do. We put him out of the body, hopefully for the saving of his soul.
Yep, so. And the Bible teaches that. People that live in willful sin, he got put out for willful sin and lying and various things that we talked about. So it was very clear. And what we strive to do at don'tperish.com is we keep pouring out at the website every day through our street preaching, through our videos, through our studies, through our teachings. Why? Because we can edify people all over the world, even people we're not closely united to, because it's all about redemption. It's all about proclaiming Christ. So we're going to leave it right there for now. Anybody can email me. Any men can email me if they got any questions. Just don't be a mocker, because I'll cut you off real quick. But we're here to help anybody in the truth. So till next time, I hope that blessed everybody. Hold fast. Contend for the faith once delivered, as Jude says. Love y'all. And may God be praised.